Crusade Channel News. News you can trust because the truth can be trusted. From the Crusade Channel News Desk, here's Celeste Youngblood.
Good afternoon, Crusaders. I'm Celeste Youngblood coming to you from the Veritas Radio Network News Bureau with your headlines at this hour on this Tuesday, December 12, 2017. The New York City bomber has been charged. Then I'll have your stock market report and saint of the day. Gaming is taking off in China, and a Cold War-era military defector has died in Japan. ABC News is reporting that 27-year-old Akayed Ullah, the man authorities arrested following yesterday morning's attempted terror attack at the New York City Port Authority bus terminal, was charged this morning with criminal possession of a weapon, supporting an act of terrorism, and making terroristic threats. These are state charges. However, it is expected that federal terrorism charges will be filed today. Ullah is currently hospitalized, badly injured from the explosion, having been attached to the bomb he detonated. Reuters reports that authorities in Bangladesh are questioning Ullah's wife and in-laws in Dhaka. It is reported that the couple have a 6-month-old son. Yesterday, it was reported that the attacker had assembled the bomb at his place of employment. Now, ABC News is reporting that the terror suspect assembled the bomb at home.
For more on the bomber and what may have inspired this attack, let's go to our senior justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas. He's there in Washington. Good morning, Pierre.
Robin, good morning. There's real concern today about the potential for copycats and more lone wolf radicals as we approach the heart of the holiday season. The attempted attack was a nightmare scenario. A would-be suicide bomber on mass transit, a suspect with no criminal background, and not on the government's terrorism radar.
This morning, the FBI and the NYPD, desperate to find out how Akayed Ullah ended up here, sprawled on the ground, severely injured after trying to kill himself and everyone around him in a terror attack. Authorities trying to answer how a 27-year-old who'd been living a quiet life in the U.S. for roughly 7 years after immigrating from Bangladesh became an ISIS-inspired potential killer. Authorities say the one-time limo driver had been secretly assembling the bomb in his apartment after learning how to put together one online. His neighbors apparently completely unaware, but several describing his demeanor as cocky.
Ridiculous. I mean, you never know who your neighbors are. You just got to be careful.
Sources tell ABC News Ullah had no known ties to terror, but investigators say he carried out his attack in the name of ISIS and read al-Qaeda propaganda online. At this point, no evidence that those groups supplied direct training or financing for the attempted attack.
We are now seeing an increased number of attacks committed by people who are inspired by what they see online, who self-connect with a terrorist ideology, but operate separate or independent.
Ullah's apparently been talking. Sources telling ABC News he said he was angry about the plight of Muslims, making references to Gaza, Syria, and Iraq.
The internet, Wolf, is the bridge across the ocean. And I think that's what we're seeing more and more.
The FBI currently has roughly 1,000 ISIS-related terror investigations ongoing in all 50 states.
Many of the cases involve suspects with no direct ties to ISIS other than being radicalized online. And this young man appears to be the newest poster boy. Sources saying the only reason that he did not kill anyone is that his crude bomb malfunctioned, Robin.
We're very thankful for that. So how is this affecting security heading into the holidays, Pierre?
Robin, these are really tense times. Law enforcement and intelligence officials are redoubling their efforts, checking out all leads. And I think in major cities like New York, you'll see additional police at public events, shows of force to signal that authorities are ready for anything.
That's right. Thank you, Pierre.
And now it's time for your business and market report. Merger negotiations are in the works between Ascension Health and Providence St. Joseph Health to form what could become the largest hospital chain in the United States. Reuters' Fred Katayama has more.
Two Catholic nonprofit hospital operators, Ascension Health and Providence St. Joseph Health, are in talks about merging. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. The two would create the largest hospital chain in the United States with 191 hospitals in 27 states and annual revenue of $45 billion. Providence declined to comment on the report. Ascension did not respond to a request for comment. Caroline Humer covers the healthcare sector at Reuters.
You know, by merging, that gives them the ability to just cut some of their internal costs, right? They can cut the backroom costs. And then when they go to insurers, they can maybe use a little bit of that size leverage to get better prices. The insurers want to pay less. The hospitals want to be paid more. This is aimed at helping that.
The merger talks come at a pivotal time in the health industry with major changes to the Affordable Care Act, rising drug prices, and new deals. Last week, Catholic Health Initiatives and Dignity Health said they are joining forces. Earlier, CVS and Aetna said the two are planning a $69 billion merger.
And now here is Fred Katayama giving us the scoop on the success of the first day of Bitcoin futures trading and Wall Street's positive closing despite yesterday's attempted terror attack.
The first Bitcoin future trades kicked off with a bang Sunday night on CBOE in Chicago. By the end of its first full day of trading on Monday, a one-month contract rose 14% to over $18,500. But some analysts said that after Bitcoin tripled in value over the past month, Bitcoin futures pricing suggested investors see price increases moderating. Analysts also said Bitcoin futures market debut in the U.S. gives Bitcoin greater legitimacy over other cryptocurrencies and encourages its wider use. Manhattan Venture Partners Santosh Rao.
It gives you a good semblance. It's not just a thing that will just flame out overnight. It's going to survive. It'll go up and down. You know Amazon and you know all the other internet stocks that went up, went down, went up. So you're going to see all that fluctuations. But at this point, they definitely have a good lead on others, and there is an air of legitimacy around it, so which should help it.
Bitcoin futures start trading on CME next week. Stocks edged higher Monday. Equity investors brushed off a morning explosion that rocked New York's busy commuter hub, the Port Authority. The move comes ahead of the Fed's two-day meeting that starts Tuesday. Region Atlantic Research Director Andy Camperin.
What's a little scary about this particular instance is that it feels like it's becoming normal. The market shrugged its great big shoulders and continued along as it was. And the fact is, an event like this should never be normal. It should always phase us and be grounds for pause. I think something scary is going on.
Bitcoin futures spurted sharply higher on their first full day of trading. They indicate financial markets expect the cryptocurrency to climb further, but at a far slower pace than in recent weeks. Shares of Fitbit jumped after the wearable device maker said it resolved its litigation with consumer electronics maker Jawbone. The top gainer on the S&P 500, CenturyLink, the telecom services provider, inked a five-year contract to provide data networking products to Pennsylvania. The European markets closed mixed. Utilities weighed on the major indexes, but materials and healthcare stocks led the FTSE higher.
Now let's see how the market is performing today. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 57 points and in late morning trading was up 133 points at 24,519. The NASDAQ yesterday closed up 35 points and in late morning trading was up 6 points at 6,882. The S&P 500 yesterday closed up 8 points and in late morning trading was up 8 points at 2,668. Crude oil was down 43 cents at $57.56 a barrel. In the world markets, the Japanese Nikkei closed down 72 points and the Hong Kong Hang Seng closed down 170. In late afternoon trading, the London FTSE 100 was up 37 and the DAX in Germany was up 28. Today's quote of the day comes from Our Lady's words to St. Juan Diego. Listen and let it penetrate your heart. Do not be troubled or weighed down with grief. Do not fear any illness or vexation, anxiety or pain. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not your fountain of life? Are you not in the folds of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Is there anything else you need? Coming up next after the break in Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, we honor Our Lady of Guadalupe. You're listening to Crusade News.
Hey folks, it's Mike Church. When you hear the words Catholic magazine these days, you probably think Newsweek magazine with more tiaras and a few less heretics. That's why you need to subscribe to Regina magazine. Six times each year, Regina draws together extraordinary Catholic writers, photographers, and videographers with a vibrant faith and wide-ranging interest. And they do it all for free at reginamag.com. To subscribe for free, just go to reginamag.com. You might even read some posts by yours truly there. Regina Magazine, inspiring, intelligent, Catholic, at reginamag.com.
It was December 9th, 1531. the first day in the octave of the Immaculate Conception, as Aztec Indian Juan Diego Cuatlatoatzin was walking to Mass when he experienced an apparition on Tepeyac Hill of a young woman who spoke to him as a mother in his own Nahuatl tongue, calling him Juancin, or Dear Little Juan. She identified herself as, quote, the ever-Virgin Mary, mother of the true God, who is the author of life, the creator of all things, the Lord of heaven and earth, present everywhere. The Virgin Mary told Juan Diego that she wanted a temple to be raised to her on Tepeyac Hill, where she would receive and compassionately console all her suffering children. Juan Diego went to go report what he had seen, but Bishop Don Juan de Zumarraga did not believe him. Our Lady visited Juan Diego again and gave him proof of the authenticity of his vision. She caused a bouquet of flowers to spring up miraculously from the frozen winter soil. Juan Diego gathered the flowers into his tilma and carried them to the bishop. When he went to reveal the miraculous flowers to the bishop, an even greater miracle became manifest. The image of Our Lady emblazoned across his tilma, with child, and standing upon the crescent moon, her hands folded in prayer. The symbolism of the details of the image carried much significance to the indigenous peoples. Scientists cannot explain how such a detailed image got onto the rough burlap material of the tilma, which should have completely disintegrated before 1600, but still exists in pristine condition after 486 years at the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City on Tepeyac Hill. These are by far not the only miracles associated with the image on the tilma. Within 10 years of the apparitions, over 10 million Indians were converted. Pope Pius XII declared Our Lady of Guadalupe the Empress of all the Americas in 1945. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Video games are all the rage in China, to the tune of rendering it a $27 billion industry. Reuters' Pei Li tells us more.
Fame, fortune, and an Olympic stadium full of raving fans. This esports world final in China drew a bigger turnout than most local soccer games last month. A stunning sign of a gaming boom in the country, where top players can score up to $4.5 million a year from prize money, endorsements, and an army of fans glued to their online broadcasts. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, as Reuters' Pei Li explains from Beijing.
China's craze for esports is propelled by the country's booming video game market, the world's biggest, which is expected to rake in more than $27 billion this year in sales. A lot of major companies, including Tencent, NetEase, and Alibaba, are laying the groundwork as they see great potential in this market and to tap the younger generation who has more purchasing power.
Dozens of universities here have set up esports majors, luring hundreds of students enrolling in those programs every year to be professional esports players.
Cities around the country are racing to cash in on breakneck growth in gaming, but even industry insiders tell Reuters they're worried that's fueling a bubble of debt.
Governments are pushing for this idea of esports villages, hoping to attract fans who are willing to pay to watch and play esports in those places. Experts are questioning if the developers have pure intentions to boost esports, or they're more like using the esports as an excuse to get land at a cheaper price from the local government.
China's gaming craze comes with a local twist. You have to play by Beijing's rules. Gaming giant Tencent's already limited playtime in its popular Honor of Kings, and when it announced it will bring blockbuster PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds to China, it also said the game will get a, quote, socialist makeover.
Well, that's disturbing. During the Cold War, an American soldier named Charles Jenkins crossed over into North Korea and remained there for decades before being released to Japan. Reuters reports that Mr. Jenkins has died at the age of 77.
An American defector who spent almost four decades inside North Korea has died, ending one of the Cold War's strangest dramas. Charles Jenkins passed away aged 77 in Japan, where he lived with his Japanese wife, according to an official in their small town. But his story began in 1965. Then he was a 24-year-old U.S. Army sergeant from Virginia who never finished high school. He was stationed in South Korea when he disappeared one night while taking his unit on patrol near the demilitarized zone. He'd later claim he was heavily intoxicated and crossed the border because he wanted to avoid fighting in Vietnam, intending to go to Russia, although he quickly regretted it. Instead, he became stuck in the Hermit Kingdom, undergoing torture and teaching English to North Korean soldiers. He also portrayed an evil American spy in a propaganda film. That's where Jenkins met his wife, 20 years his junior. She was a kidnap victim, forced to train Pyongyang spies. They had two daughters. Eventually, they were allowed to leave for Japan. He was court-martialed in 2004, but only served a 30-day sentence. He claimed fear for his family's safety kept him from attempting escape sooner.
I didn't go because they knew I couldn't escape. Who would escape and leave my wife and daughter? Never.
After coming to Japan, Jenkins worked in a gift shop and wrote a book about his time in North Korea.
In this Celestial Musings, the infantilization of our young adults by colleges and universities has got to stop. Exhibit 1. Campus Reform reports that the Honors Dorm at the University of Massachusetts has enlisted a special team to help minister to grumpy or stressed students. Members of this special team are pictured on little note cards in a display with advice such as make time for fun, surround yourself with reminders of what you love, and get plenty of sleep. Now I know you're dying to know, who are these mavens of motivation?
I wanna be a Care Bear. Oh, it'll be so great when I'm a Care Bear. Well, I can hardly wait to be a Care Bear and do the things that Care Bears do. I don't wanna be a cook or a fireman. Don't wanna play trombone in a marching band. I just wanna be a Care Bear like you. Just wanna be a Care Bear.
Sophomore Bradley Palumbo is unimpressed and said, quote, frankly, I just think it's ridiculous. The people that live in this dorm are either 20 or 21 years old. We could be overseas fighting in wars right now or working full time with kids at home to feed. But the school thinks we need Care Bears to remind us that we're supposed to eat healthy and sleep at night. He continued, if you don't know that by age 20, you have bigger problems and probably shouldn't be pursuing a degree until you get those sorted out. Amen, Bradley Palumbo. Have some respect, University of Massachusetts, and treat these men and women as the adults they are, or we're going to have babies running the country in another 20 years. Hey, do you think if babies are running the country in another generation that they'll ban abortion? You know, self-preservation and all. Exhibit 2. Last week, I brought to you the story of Lindsay Shepherd, the teacher's assistant at Canada's Wilfrid Laurier University, who was given the third degree for daring to present a debate to her students about gender-neutral language, but refused to denounce either opinion to the class, letting them make up their minds. You heard excerpts of her disciplinary meeting, but you didn't hear this.
That can become something that creates an unsafe learning environment for students.
But when they leave the university, they're going to be exposed to these ideas. So I don't see how I'm doing a disservice to the class by exposing them to ideas that are really out there. And I'm sorry I'm crying. I'm stressed out because this to me is so wrong. So wrong. What I have a problem with is I didn't target anybody. Who did I target?
Trans folks.
How? By telling them ideas that are really out there? By telling them that? By telling them? Really?
It's not just telling them. In legitimizing this as a valid perspective, as this is another valid perspective.
In a university, all perspectives are valid.
That's not necessarily true, Lindsay.
Well, this is something that's being debated in current society, and I don't feel the need to shield people from what's going on in society. Like,
okay.
To imagine that this is happening in university, it's just bad.
Okay, so bad. That's the kind of the frame on why some kinds of content we would use in class and some we wouldn't use, or we would only use those for upper year classes or grad students. These are very young students. And something of that nature is not appropriate to that age of student because they don't
18?
Have... 18? Yes.
They're adults.
Yes, but they're very young adults. They don't have the critical toolkit to be able to take it apart yet. This is one of the things that we're teaching them. And so this is why it becomes something that has to be done with a bit more care.
So again, old enough to go to war, old enough to have a family. Heck, even old enough to decide they want to chop off their privates and pretend to become a different sex. But not old enough to listen to a debate which presents alternative ideas without needing Care Bear safe space therapy. Shame on you, Wilfrid Laurier University. You should have backed up your amazing teacher's assistant. Exhibit 3. I'm going to play an audio clip for you. This is from a video shared by Campus Reform, which shows the treatment Fordham University College Republicans were subjected to because they walked into Rodrigue's Coffee House wearing Make America Great Again hats, thereby violating the coffee shop's safe space policy. Now, first of all, let me just say that as the oldest Catholic university in the northeastern United States, the only safe spaces Fordham should be promoting are the ones in front of a tabernacle or a monstrance or inside a confessional. But I digress. Nobody cares about souls being safe, only feelings and delicate psyches. Back to Rodrigue's Coffee House. The coffee house is run by a student club, and let me tell you how they introduced themselves both on Facebook and on a flyer which you can pick up inside the coffee house itself. And I quote, "We do things like coffee and music and movies and love. If you like or want any of those things, stop on by. We're located between Alumni Court South and Queens Court. Also, we're entirely student run. It's pretty rad." Rodrigues strives to be a safer space on Fordham's campus. We welcome diversity, and we encourage all those participating in the Rodrigues community to express themselves creatively and respectfully. As such, we urge everyone in the space to be aware of their own identity and considerate of the personhood of their peers. For these reasons, consider the following. Do not make assumptions about someone's gender, sexuality, race, class, or experiences. Be aware of the ways in which your words and actions impact others. Be aware of the boundaries of others' space, physical or otherwise, and respect their consent. No racism, no sexism, no homophobia. Please understand that the above list is by no means exhaustive. These are only basic guidelines to help foster a safer space and a more inclusive community in Rodrigues. Ideas and actions that intend to violate any of the above are not welcome. If you feel that someone has transgressed this policy, we want you to feel comfortable confronting them or approaching a member behind the counter, who is available as a resource to assist you. It is the responsibility of every Rodrigues member to ensure that this policy is enforced. Without further ado, let's find out how this tolerant coffee house treats people who express themselves with Make America Great Again hats.
Come over me, thank you. 5 minutes, if you don't leave, I'm gonna get you guys kicked out. Thank you.
This says nothing about supporting
five
political identity.
Minutes.
That says nothing
five
about
minutes.
Politics.
Get out.
You have no
five
right to
minutes.
Do any of this.
Yeah, I actually do.
On what
I'm
grounds?
Protecting my customers.
From what?
We're your customers, we bought something.
Yeah. I don't want people like you supporting this club.
Well, then you should include
no
that,
one
I want to refund them my coffee.
Like
yeah,
then
I'll give them
our
coffee.
Club.
Then I want
I'm
to refund.
Giving
then
you
I want
five
refund.
Minutes.
Yeah. Then give us all refunds and we'll leave.
Well, you drank it.
Well,
you
if
have your coffee.
I haven't actually touched
it. Do not try to outsmart me. I'm giving you 4 minutes now. Please leave. Four minutes.
I haven't talked about my coffee yet.
No,
I should make a refund.
4 minutes.
I have the right to take a picture of this document.
Okay, 4 minutes. Please pack your stuff up and go. Thank you very much. Very soon it will be 3 minutes.
Wow. You're trying to be threatening. Why are you being threatening?
Because you are threatening the integrity of our club.
How?
This is a community standard. You are wearing hats that completely violate your space policy.
Does this hat have a racial
slur on it? Take it off or you have to go. Yes, it does.
What is America?
3 minutes. 3 minutes.
What is the hat
fascism, Nazis, okay? What do you want? 3 minutes.
I do not see fascism, Nazis on this hat. I see America.
3 minutes.
I am so triggered right now. No, just kidding. What do you think would happen if these college Republicans were to go off and form their own coffee shop and were to kick out the liberal, infantilized masses who threaten their safe space? You know exactly what would happen.
That's discrimination!
Yep. Honestly, folks, what is going to become of us when these young adults, whose ideas were never challenged and who were never expected to take responsibility for themselves, grow up and run the nation? Send me your news tips at news@veritasradionetwork.com. Keep yourself tuned in to the Veritas Radio Network for king-size truth from radio-sized speakers. Coming up next, The True Money Show. Celeste Youngblood signing off for the Crusade Channel, serving you, serving truth.
You've just heard Crusade Channel News, live on your news, talk, and saints leader, the Crusade Channel. And did you know that all newscasts are available as podcasts on crusadechannel.com and on our free app available in the Google Play and iTunes stores? Surprised?
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Crusade Channel News. News you can trust. Because the truth can be trusted.